Yeah, how about that? Okay, so this is exciting. It is the 12 days of Christmas that Santa Slee is not only on all the shows, but I get to do a show today and the next handful of days with Santa Slee himself. This is, I just, you know, Mason and Ireland don't have Santa Slee on their show. And Sonato and Cap don't have Santa Slee.
Sure.
This is very exciting for me.
Yeah, no, it should be exciting for you. And to be honest with you, I think your level of respect should change for me because not many people are doing this. Not many people are doing this, okay?
Respect. I'm already all the way up there. No, look, you're my guy, right? We are partners, we are co-hosts, and we have become friends, and I'm very good. But can I be honest with you for a second?
Sure, of course you can.
Going to kind of take Mason's side on this one. You're ho-ho-ho a little – a little underwhelming, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree with you. I thought, in my opinion, I thought it was one of the greater performances that we've seen when it comes to gearing up to be Santa Claus. And frankly, I wouldn't be surprised or shocked if, you know, a couple different agents start reaching out to me, companies from movie productions that say, hey, you know what? I don't know who this is. I thought he was just a sports guy. I didn't realize that he's also can play different characters. So I'm you're welcome.
Yeah, no, but you got to look. You are, maybe this is just coming from me as a larger, heavier person, but you got to let it rip from the diving. You got to go deep. You got to go ho 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 ho. You got to get way down in there, not ho ho ho. You're like the most reluctant Santa I've ever heard.
I'm going to go back to this. I'm going to say it again. It could be one of the greatest ho ho ho's that we've ever heard. It could be.
I'm excited. I am excited.
You went quiet right there.
Well, because I'm not your ho 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 left.
Well, I think you were. I also think the timing of it. I think you were swallowing.
I was.
And I was. Yeah. So no, I think
you,
there was.
You caught me mid gulp. That's for sure. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Be a part of Trav and Slee today on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back for a little while longer. We're getting close to the end. So are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. So, the Santa Slee, right? Mm-hmm. It's 12 days of Christmas. Keep listening today. You're going to hear something. It's going to tell you when to call, when you hear it. You want to be caller number 7. You know the number, 877-710-ESPN. And it's your chance to pick a present underneath the 710 Christmas tree. Here's what's available to you, potentially. You could win tickets or suite passes to the Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl. That's at SoFi Stadium. It's a great way to go see SoFi Stadium, to see a great college football bowl game as well. Lakers Christmas Day suite passes. That's a fantastic prize. 2 days.
Doesn't get better than that.
2 days, 2 nights at Harrah's Resort SoCal and WWE Friday Night SmackDown tickets, or 2 days or 2 nights stay at Fantasy Springs. So there's a lot of good stuff under the Santa Slee tree.
Okay, so now that the pieces are kind of starting to come together, because remember last week it was like, hey, FYI, you're Santa Slee. I'm like, I don't even know if I fully understand what's going on here. And now that we've had a couple of these promos that are running, the way you just set it up right there, this is a pretty damn cool promotion. So we're going to do this for 12 straight days. And, you know, listeners obviously get an opportunity to pick from one of these prizes, and we'll do it kind of leading up to Christmas. So it's great. Glad to be a part of it. T-Raj, don't you ever question my ho-ho-ho ever.
Well, I'm going to know. I am. Look, this is what friends do. This is what people that are in an honest relationship and partnership do. They tell each other the truth. That when
just got a text from CAA. There's a couple different people that want to represent me.
Yeah, I don't even think you could get the job at the Santa Anita Mall. Like, that's what I think. They'd be like, nah, we're going to need somebody that's, you know, kind of into being Santa. That this your lack of Santa enthusiasm is the kids are not going to be feeling that.
That's awesome. They don't even have me. I'm just in the parking lot.
What do you want? Yeah, I don't know. That thing breaks really quickly. I don't think so. How about a nice bond? How about a T-bill?
I'm going to say it one more time. You're welcome. All right.
When do I get to tell you what I want for Christmas? Do I sit on your lap? Do I send you a text? Yeah. How do we do this whole thing?
It's getting awkward very quickly, bro.
The simple physics of it all, I don't think would end well for you. That would be a mismatch.
It reminds me of The Office when Kevin goes to sit on Michael's lap in that one Christmas episode.
Yeah, that's right.
That's when Michael was upset that Phyllis was Santa for the.
Can't feel
day.
My left leg, man. You should. Yeah, I don't want to injure you.
I don't want to injure you. I don't want to do that. All right, so make sure that you're listening for that. Your chance to win, like I said, some very very cool prizes along the way as well. We'll get to the Lakers here in a second, but can I just kind of throw this out there off the top?
Yeah,
I love being a native Southern Californian. I love having been born and raised in Los Angeles. I love this city. I'm proud to call this place my home.
Why is that? What happened?
Watching Monday Night Football last night has never made me more happy to be from here and live here and call this place my home. That looked so miserable last night on TV. And it wasn't even snowing. It was just cold and windy. There's a little bit of snow towards the end of the game, but that just looked terrible.
Can you imagine what the ground felt like? Like, can you imagine when you go and you get tackled by some dude who's 280 pounds, is athletic, and is chiseled?
And mean.
Or one of those that have maybe a little extra fat on their body because they need it for the position that they play.
Right.
And they just slam you down. That's concrete.
It's like a sheet of ice.
I mean, you know how you just said it looked miserable?
Yeah.
The only word that I could describe was it looked painful.
Like
Every run, every time that these guys smacked against each other, I'm like, yeah, how painful that must be. I mean, unless you're just so cold that you just don't feel anything anymore, that looked absolutely miserable yesterday.
Yeah, no, it was a pretty bad deal, and the game itself was pretty unfun to watch because the ball wasn't really being thrown around. We'll get to that a little bit later on, but I don't know. I don't look at Twitter a ton when I'm not working. Like when I'm on the show, I'm on it a lot. Before the show, I'm on it a lot, and occasionally I'll flip through it, but I don't spend a ton of time on it. But somebody sent
me because you do the Insta Live, right? You're always live on Instagram.
I'm more of a TikTok guy. I don't know any.
More to do is just the only reason why you're not on Twitter is because other apps are open at the same time when you're going
exactly.
live. So there's
yeah,
okay,
exactly
got
right.
Got it.
I like to just broadcast my entire day nonstop. But the point of that was somebody sent me one of those NFL Twitter feeds that showed the guys trying to make field goals during pregame warmups, and the uprights are swaying back and forth like a hula girl.
Oh my god!
Like it was the idea of trying to do anything other than just run it 700 times seemed like a fool's errand. It made me very happy to live in LA. Made me very happy. I liked it. We have a dome essentially here in Los Angeles, and they play outside in Buffalo. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and also I mean, you look out today. Look, the concrete's a little bit wet. It's a little chillier than normal. I mean, we shouldn't have to go through this either. And I almost feel like what they experienced yesterday in Buffalo is the equivalent of what we experienced this morning, where it's about 60 degrees and there's a little bit of wind, and we're like, oh no, we get it, we understand, understand.
To give you an idea, we mentioned this the other day that I haven't parked my car in my garage ever, like in my entire life. I'm always parked in my driveway.
Because of the sombreros, yep.
Right, because of the sombreros. That's exactly right. So the idea when it's kind of drizzly and misty, basically, for damp, I'm like, I got to go all the way to my car in the driveway. That's like 10 steps of uncovered walking. I better get a parka. I better get an umbrella. I better get something to manage my way through this, because I'm not going to make it to my car uncovered all 10 steps. That's kind of where I am in my life.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny, guys?
That's a tough life, too, and I feel for you, and I don't want you to experience stuff like that.
You know what's funny?
Up,
I still have my scraper in my backseat of my car. It's just a reflex from living in New England for so long. My scraper still sits there. And people ask me when they come in my car, it's like, hey, you know, maybe you could like put this in your house or put it in your trunk. Nope, it's always there.
Yeah, turn it in for a squeegee and a chamois, where you can just give yourself a quick little car wash at any given. To get a little dew on the car, you can wipe the whole thing down. All right. Let's go to the Lakers here very quickly, Alan, talk a little bit about the conversation that took place yesterday. And, you know, this is life in the NBA. When your team has expectations, Lakers still do, championship expectations, and your team is not playing well, and they're not. They're 12-12 through their first 24 games. Eventually, we're going to get to, hey, what does coach have to do with this? And LeBron and Frank Vogel and these guys, they had to have this conversation yesterday, and it just felt like, okay, this is the next step. You start with expectations. You give it a little bit of time to see what it is. If the expectations aren't met, the very first step is, hey, what's going on with the coach? And it felt like that's where we got to yesterday.
Yeah, and listen, this is not, I don't think, anything new from a fan perspective. A fan perspective, just getting a chance to travel. You're doing the show. We take a lot of calls. You know, obviously getting a chance to do the post-game show or any of the other stuff I do Lakers-related. There's always criticism that comes to a coach. And it was that criticism was coming to Vogel even when they were making their championship run in Orlando and beating the Miami Heat. There was always criticism that came to Coach Vogel. So that comes with the territory, period. There's no other way to put it. But I think, you know, what makes this moment a little bit more interesting and unique is they're well below expectations. So I don't know what you thought coming into the season. Maybe you had some question marks yourself about what the roster looked like. Hey, Pelinka, was that the right move? Did you really think Westbrook was going to come in? You can have your own reservations, but the bottom line is Vegas had Brooklyn and the Lakers coming into this season as the two favorites to go win the whole thing. Not the Warriors, not the Phoenix Suns, not the Milwaukee Bucks. No, no, it was Brooklyn and it was the Los Angeles Lakers. So as the season, you know, starts to play out and you go in the preseason 0-6, okay, hey, it's just preseason. All right, leave that thing alone. Let's turn the page here and let's get going. Okay, well, you start off 0-2. You lose to the Warriors, and then you lose to the Phoenix Suns. And then you pretty much play 500 basketball, not pretty much, identical to 500, 24 games in. You're 30% through the season. Of course these conversations are going to come up. They are. And whether you like it or you don't, I thought it was interesting. So when we finished our show yesterday, Lakers had media availability. It was Coach, and it was LeBron James. And one of the questions that was brought up to LeBron, like you just mentioned, and LeBron addresses it. It was on Coach Vogel, and he says, criticism comes with the job. Frank is a strong-minded guy. Actually, you know what? We looks like we actually have the sound. Let me throw it over here to the sound, and we could play this. This is LeBron yesterday from Lakers practice.
I think when you I mean, I think criticism comes with the job. You know, Frank is a strong-minded guy. He has a great coaching staff. And we as his players have to do a better job of going out and producing on the floor.
All right. There's a lot there, Al. There is a lot there in what he said. And LeBron is one of the most sophisticated and one of the most savvy communicators that we have in professional sports right there. And I think he knew exactly what he was saying. And I think he knew exactly what he was not saying in that as well. Let's get into that. We're going to play it again. We're going to talk about what he said and quite honestly, in my opinion, what wasn't said in that. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Who was the chorus? Who was that? You, Emily?
I was one of them. I don't
Celine
know if
Dion.
I was all of them, but I think it's the rest of
Shakira.
The producers.
And Beyonce.
There, yeah, sure.
That's, yep. That's, we need a Grammy. Like. That's what we need.
There you
and
go.
John Legend. I thought I heard John Legend in the background.
Yeah. You guys should have rehearsed a little bit. I like the effort. You guys are enthusiastic, unlike some people I know, but at least you guys were fired up for it. So I'll give you credit for that. And
are you, by the way, I need you. I can't go to the game. I can't work the game tonight because I got a lot on my plate right now with the whole Santa Slee thing and everything
okay.
else going on. So
you want me to do pre and post?
Yeah,
first
you might
and
have
third
to do.
Quarter?
First and third, I got. Don't touch that. We touch the first and third quarter, but pre and post, those are yours.
I'm in. What time does it start? I'll do it. Let Michael
don't
know
worry
I'm coming.
Don't, I don't like you're too aggressive here.
Look, I love being on the radio. Whatever you need, just let me know. I will be there. I will.
Is that right? Do you love it so much that you send me texts sometimes when I'm in a double overtime game on a Friday night, the day
no,
after
like
Thanksgiving, enjoying, showing me with your feet up on the couch and a drink in your hand?
Well, yeah. The only thing I like better than being on the radio is when you are on the radio late at night and I'm enjoying a glass of wine and watching TV. That I like more. All right, it's time for a little Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I want to play that LeBron cut again because we were talking about it a second ago, Al, that – This is the next step. When you have a championship team or championship expectations and you're not meeting those expectations, at about this point in the season, the conversation usually turns to, hey, what's going on with the coach? And LeBron James addressed that question.
I think when you, I mean, I think criticism comes with the job. You know, Frank is a strong-minded guy. He has a great coaching staff. And we as his players have to do a better job of going out and producing on the floor. You know, so we're a team and an organization that, you know, that don't mind some adversity, that don't mind people, you know, saying things about us, obviously, because it comes with the territory. And we have a lot of guys on this team that's been bulletin board material for quite a long time. So it don't quite bother us. So, you know, everything that we do stays in-house when it comes with our preparation and how we prepare for our next opponent and how we prepare to get better. So Frank doesn't care, and we don't either, about what people are saying.
Okay, so there's your Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. I think there's a couple of things in here that really jumped out at me when I read it, and that, and then when you hear it, I think it really brings it home. Number one, the chuckle off the top is kind of interesting to me, right? It's just kind of one of those, okay, well, because when I do that, and I do it all the time, you're kind of getting your thoughts in order real quick, right? You're kind of, it's just one of those verbal things that you do to buy yourself an extra fraction of a second before you kind of go in to what it is that you want to do. Here's what he talked about, in kind of in order. He talked about, you know, we have a great staff. We have Frank is a strong-minded guy. We need to play better as a team. We faced adversity, and we don't mind
comes
that.
With the territory.
People say things that comes with the territory, that what we have is going to stay in-house, that we don't care. Okay? It said a lot. It cuts about just short of a minute. You know it wasn't in there? Frank Vogel's not the problem. Frank Vogel is the right coach for this team. Frank Vogel is not the reason we're 12-12. None of that was in there. Now, he didn't blow it up. It wasn't that he, you know, threw gas on a fire that was just starting to smolder, but it also wasn't, I'm going to stomp this thing out right away. This wasn't, guys, Frank is not the issue. We won a championship with Frank 5 minutes ago. We won a championship with Frank, you know, just a couple of seasons ago. With a lot of the guys that are on the team right now, we've won a championship. This isn't that. That's not the problem. The problem is we're not playing good basketball. The problem is we're not fully engaged every night. The problem is X, Y, and Z. It's not what he said. And like I said a minute ago, Slee, LeBron James is about as savvy and shrewd of a communicator as there is. He knows what he's doing. He knows how he wants to message these things. He knows what he wants to say. He knows what he doesn't want to say. And I think that the absence of that, it's not a bomb. It's not, I don't like Frank Vogel. It's not, I think he needs to get fired. We need to go in a new direction. But it also wasn't a full-throated defense of him either.
I think I kind of listened to it maybe a little bit differently. The way I took it was more, I don't know how much he wants to engage in it. I don't know how much he wants to engage in that conversation. You know, and it could be, you know, one of the things that he said, which I think he's incredibly right about, he talked about the players. Like, there needs to be more on their shoulders. He is right, by the way, because I've watched plenty of basketball, as you have. Coach Vogel didn't just all of a sudden, where he has been known as a defensive head coach, forget how to coach defenses or bring his team to a position where, think about where they were a year ago, where they were in the season that they won the championship against Miami, where they sit today as a team defensively. I don't think he just forgot all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to give a free pass to coach, but I think the part that he mentioned of it's us on us players, you know what, LeBron or a coach doesn't care about what other people say, and neither do we. I felt like LeBron was more trying to just, I don't want to give this fuel. I don't want to give this fire. Because if he, let's say he goes out of his way and does what you just mentioned, which I wouldn't mind if he said, it's on us. We got to do a better job. You know, this lineup, we're not living up to our expectations. The coach can only do so much. I don't know then if he's throwing some of his players under the bus. And I would actually kind of like that. I think there does need to be a fire lit under some of these guys. You're 24 games in. You're sitting 12-12. You have trouble against 500 teams below 500. But maybe those conversations are being had behind closed doors. I'm trying to kind of see it from your perspective. And I understand the let me take this entire wall down. Frank ain't going anywhere. He's our guy. Like, he could have done that. At the same time, I think he also – I don't know if he just wants to add anything to a conversation when somebody brings up Coach Vogel and let's say, his job security or how he's doing or anything along those lines.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I think the fact that let's go back to a different sport when another coach was speaking. Remember when Mike Tomlin was asked about the USC job? Mm-hmm. Remember that? No, I'm not going there. This is stupid. Stop asking me this. No, it's not happening. Nobody asked him about it anymore, and we kept it moving because he made it very clear that's not something I'm engaged in. And I'm not. Mike Tomlin has a very different style than LeBron James.
Sure.
I understand that. But it was there is no, and then there's let me talk for a minute about everything that's going on because I agree with you, Al. If he really wanted to squash it and not give it oxygen and not engage, when the question comes up, it's, guys, that's not the problem. The problem is not the coaching. The problem is the players. We need to stop with this. We need to stop looking for excuses. The excuses are we're not playing well enough. Mm-hmm. Now we're not being coached not well enough. We're not playing well enough. He could put the boot on that as fast as anybody. And I, if it were almost anybody other than LeBron, I would say, look, maybe it's just the other way. But LeBron's so clever and so smart and so
he's
shrewd,
calculated.
And so savvy,
he's very calculated.
Yep. Perfect word. That when it wasn't that, it made me go, huh. And again, I want to be very clear. I don't think he's setting something up. That's not what I think he's doing. But there's a difference between a full-throated, no, that's not what it is, and a partial, that's, you know, we've all got things that we need to be responsible for. We all need to do better. We all need, we've got staff, and we've got good, hard-nosed players, and all of these other things isn't, no, that's not the problem.
So I'm going to... Maybe this is part of the reason why he didn't go to the level that you wanted him to go to. Or if he'd have said something, you'd have been
it's not that I wanted him to go to. It's just that I noticed that he did. I mean, whatever to me. If he thinks it's a problem, whatever.
What I mean by that is if he would have, let's just say, a little bit more just more stern with some of his comments, more like, okay, yeah, that ain't everything that you were just describing.
Definitive.
I mentioned this on Lakers Talk yesterday, and I genuinely believe this. They're 24 games in. If you're 50 games in and you're still hovering around 500, or if you're halfway through the season and you're still hovering around 500, I do believe everything is still on the table.
Sure.
100%. And I listen, the Lakers have made it very, very clear, as they should, and LeBron has made it very, very clear everywhere he's been pretty much for his career, whether he was in Cleveland or Miami or here with the Lakers. Hey, I'm about making it to the NBA Finals and trying to win an NBA championship. And if we're not in contention and position to do that today, well, we better be figuring out something for tomorrow. And we're not talking tomorrow a year from now. We're talking
tomorrow
over the next couple of months. That's why I say that if let's just say they're 20 and 21 by the time we're halfway through the season, do you not think that at that point the question mark about players – trade deadline, head coach, every single thing is on the table. They're not going to let another. Just think about this. Like, just you know, we're talking about how Phoenix is playing well and how the Warriors are playing well and everything else, and the Lakers are not even in that conversation. I don't think there's a scenario that plays out where the Lakers, they've been all in for 3 years in a row. What's going to make them stop going all in this upcoming trade deadline?
They're not going to stop. The only thing I disagree with you, Al, on, and it's just the timeline. I don't think they need to be 21. I think it's now. I don't think it's you got to wait for them to play 40 games. I think it's right now. I think that
right now is what? What do you mean?
I think right now everything is on the table. I think right now evaluations are being made about every single aspect of this team. The fit, the defense, the rotation, the coaching, the players, all of it. Just this, like you said at the beginning, this was a team at the beginning of the year. It was the Nets and the Lakers, and let's get this season started so we can get to the finals and see these two heavyweights go at it. Well, that's not happening, and it's not just a week or two or even a month or two. We're at a point where, you know, we've played 24 games. We have a pretty good idea of what this is, and it's not happening. And to let another quarter of the season come off the board before you finally say, hey, let's take a look at what's going on here. Where is the problem? I think would be a huge mistake. I think it needs to take place right now.
Put it this way. I think they're looking at it right now is happening. Taking action on it, I don't think will happen today or tomorrow. I think taking action would happen January 1st, or as you get closer to that.
Which, by the way, is only 3.5 weeks away. That's coming up fast.
Or I actually, what I should say is more closer to mid-January to February, because here's the reality, too. A lot of these teams that have players that – there's going to be teams today that think they're a playoff team, and then by the time the trade deadline comes, they're in full sale mode, you know, whatever it is. And I'm not even talking about just the Lakers. It could be the Warriors saying, you know what, we're still not good enough. Let's go out and get another asset to try to separate ourselves even further. Or if the Lakers figure things out, or Kyrie goes back to Brooklyn and now he's on that team, we got to get even better from where they are. So it's not even just the Lakers. It's some of these other teams. But I don't think action's going to happen today or tomorrow. I think the conversations are probably being had. Action would happen a little bit further down the road.
All right, so let's have that conversation. Who gets which piece of the pie in this? At 12-12, is there a LeBron piece? Is there a Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, Frank Vogel, Rob Pelinka? Like, break this all down. 877-710-ESPN, and give us your thoughts on who you think gets which part of that pie.
I would say also, too, Trav, if there is too much of a conversation around Coach Vogel, is it fair that Coach gets as much heat as he gets, or is this more on the players, as LeBron kind of indicated there a little bit as well? So we'll take your phone calls coming up next, 877-710-ESPN. Stay right here, Travis and Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Am I asking for much? I don't think I'm asking for much.
Maybe that could be one of your Santa Slee gifts, just some boxes that you can take to Costco to fill up with your ham slices and tires and coffins, because you can get all of those things at Costco.
With all the tech. What'd you get from Costco? I got a 14 pounds of beer, or what's the huge, you ever buy like a Woodford Reserve from Costco?
Sure. Yeah.
That's like the largest thing that you could possibly think of. And I got an air conditioning unit.
And a coffin and a new battery for my car.
And solar. I got solar as well.
Yeah, look, that, by the way, when we were talking about where's the best place to get trapped, that's probably the second best answer. The Walmart is number one, because if the apocalypse starts, you need to be armed. But if we're going to live peacefully with each other, then Costco's probably a good option as well. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And don't forget that it is the 12 days of Christmas here at 710 ESPN. Keep listening starting today for Santa Slee to come down your chimney. And when you hear that happen, caller number 7, 877-710-ESPN, for your chance to pick a box underneath the tree. All sorts of great prizes.
We got some great prizes here. Great prizes here.
Tickets to the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl. Tickets to the Lakers Christmas Day.
We've got. It's not bad. Lakers
not bad at
Nets.
All.
Yeah, not bad.
Two nights stay at Harrah's Resort SoCal. WWE Friday Night SmackDown tickets. Two nights stay at Fantasy Springs. So, Sleek's giving away. You're paying for all this stuff too, right?
Cash. I mean, just it doesn't matter. Just let me know. I'm coming in with cash. Sir, we only take credit cards. All I have is cash. And, yes, I am going to pay for everything.
Perfect. All right, so we were talking about LeBron's comments about Frank Vogel. And, you know, this is the conversation that's taking place. And the team's underwhelming. Questions about the coach, questions about the players, questions about rotations. And yesterday it was about the coach. And LeBron said, look, we got a whole bunch of things. We got a great staff. Frank's a strong-minded guy. We need to play better as a team. We don't mind the adversity, et cetera, et cetera. Somebody's got to take some responsibility for what's going on right now. So that was the question that we put out there.
Can I say this, Trav? As far as, you know, we're looking at, hey, it's too much made on Coach Vogel. You know what? Are we spending too much time complaining about a guy that's sitting on the sidelines and obviously isn't going to be in there for the action? Listen, I think sometimes it's fair, but I will make a point. And you and I talked a little bit about this yesterday. It's not like Vogel's not trying 39 different lineups a night, because he is, and none of them are working. None of them are standing out where you're like, yep, those are the five we're going to close out the game. Yep, those are the five that we're going to start. I don't think, to be frank with you, I don't think there's enough criticism towards the players. I don't think there's enough criticism towards that roster and those individuals finding a way to beat teams like the Sacramento Kings and the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Boston Celtics who don't have Jaylen Brown. I don't think there's enough individually on the players. You're going to tell me Anthony Davis shouldn't the expectations that you and I had on AD coming into the year. When I say expectations, we all know he's great. We all know he's a fantastic player. Are you happy with the way he's played this season so far?
No.
Do you think LeBron James, and I know he's been in and out of games, and actually put LeBron to the side because LeBron's a little bit more tougher one because, to be honest with you, I wanted to put more on the other guy's shoulders than LeBron this year. But you could go down the list with the roster. It's not like any of these guys have been consistent. It's not like any of them had jumped out or stood out.
No.
Why don't we give the players more criticism?
Well, I think they do. I think they get some criticism. I think that's where most of my criticism has lied most of this season. If we're ranking things, I think, number one, the roster is not right. I've felt like that from the very beginning of the season. Number two, I think that the players are the second most responsible. And then I think third in the show position is the coach, because I think what the coach is responsible for. But again, I think this is the third most important thing at this point in the season is effort and defense. If the team's effort comes and goes, that's a problem for the coach. If the defense comes and goes, that's a problem for the coach, because if you can't get them to buy in on that end, that means they're not listening. Okay, because we've seen Frank Vogel is a good defensive coach. That is if we were asking questions, what type of coach is Frank Vogel, and you know the NBA, the answer is he's a defensive-minded coach. That's what he is. And the Lakers don't play very good defense. That is a Frank Vogel problem. Now, the roster construction, that's a Rob Pelinka problem. The player problems, well, that's a player problem, and that's the question that we're getting at right now. Let's start in Van Nuys with Mike. Mike, you are on the Dr. Pepper call-in line with Travis and Slee. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Travis. Hey, Slee. Thanks for taking my call. Just really quick, I agree with all your points, Travis, especially that I think when you look at the makeup of the roster, it's definitely some blame on Rob Pelinka. But, you know, as a fan, when I look at the bench, I don't see, like, the same intensity just for an offensive rebound. Like, I look at Malik Monk. I look at, you know, these guys that in this new NBA where – you know, they're great at shooting, but how hard is it just to box out and get a rebound? Like, you know, second chance points. Like, Dwight and Rajon, they're older. Yes, we're saving them for, you know, towards the playoffs, but you know, I'm expecting Taylor Horton Tucker not to constantly drive in and expect a foul call. I need him to do more effort plays. Just my take. Just the effort plays, not only on the defensive end, but the offensive rebound has just been atrocious for me.
Well, Mike, I don't think you – we appreciate you calling the show. I don't think you have to go to the bench to find that. Why don't you stay with the starting lineup? I don't think you have to find that from an effort perspective sometimes from, you know, go look at the bench, look at the starters. Trav, I told you this. Before the Lakers came back and they ended up being the Sacramento Kings, they had that second half. The first half, and I know you remember this because you and I chat about it when it happened, offensive rebound after offensive rebound. This is for the Kings. Zero, you know, De'Aaron Fox going grabbing a rebound, going the length of the basket. Listen, you can tell when somebody wants it and when they don't want it. Or it's not – if it comes to them, it comes to them. But you could also see other teams out there. I'm going to go – I will do everything I possibly can to go get that W. I don't care what month it is. I don't care what game it is. You can't tell me that the Lakers have had that mentality all season because they haven't.
Well, look, you don't have to look far, right? I mean, we've talked about this the last week or so, and I get it. The NBA, it's a long season. There are 82 games. There are going to be nights where you're not fully present. I get it. That's the reality of the NBA, and you play that many games. But we talked about it last week. If you were watching the Lakers and the Kings on one channel and you flipped over to the other channel and it was the Warriors and the Suns, and I'm not talking about the quality of play, I'm talking about the intensity of play. It's night and day. Mm-hmm. It's just night and day. It's not just that, oh, well, sure, Steph Curry's going off and Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton are going off.
So what are their excuses? How come they don't have the same excuses? How come they don't have, well, it's November and it's December and it's game 20 of the season? They're not playing like that.
No, they're playing hard. They're playing fast. They play defense. They play team ball. All of these things. So, you know, all you need to do is go to the previous channel button on your remote and flip back and forth with that a few times. And it's not – you don't have to be – Phil Jackson to notice the subtleties there. You just need to watch. Okay, these guys are going 100 miles an hour, and these guys aren't.
The one thing that I think I'll take away from what you said, if you're questioning the team's effort, if you're questioning the team's drive, if you're questioning the team's sense of urgency, that part you are right on. That does fall on the coach. And when we say it falls on the coach, what we mean by that is, either that coach is going to get you to care on a night-in, night-out basis, or he's not. And if he isn't, then there is blame that you could throw on Coach Vogel for that. And unfortunately, I think for the Lakers, you got so many players that have been in this league for such a long time. There's so many veterans there. I don't know how much of the – I didn't think that would be a conversation coming into the season. It's a conversation 24 games in.
It absolutely is. And until it starts to get ironed out and get more consistent, it's going to continue to be one. Or the other thing happens. Players start to move. Coaches start to move. That you're not just going to play this out for 40 games, 50 games, 60 games. At some point, something happens that goes in a different direction. If you are on hold – I would invite you to stay there because
we're
going to come back to this topic. I think that a lot of Laker fans want to weigh in with their opinions on how do you break down this entire pie. But coming up next, producer Zach has a Hey, Did You See? That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. I love that open. I love that music. It makes me feel like, I don't know, like 1960s, up with people kind of deal. Like, puts me in a good mood. What do you have for us today, Zach?
I feel like I'm on The Price is Right or something.
That's it. That's it right there. Exactly.
Hey, you guys. Hey, did you see a rare deep sea fish was found washed up on the shore of Black's Beach in San Diego? The fish known as the Pacific football fish is a fish that lives in the Pacific Ocean at the depths of 2,000 to 3,000 feet. So how much does the ocean freak you out?
Well, Al, so here's the thing. Like, there are a lot of creatures that give me the creeps because I think if we were listing all the ways you don't want to check out of this earth, being consumed by a higher predator is near the top, right? That sounds like a really bad way to go. Whether we're talking grizzly bear, shark, mountain lion, that's just that's a bad deal. But the thing, we don't even know what's in the ocean. Okay, there are things that are in the ocean that we don't know what they are. And all of a sudden, like, this thing comes up from 3,000 feet deep in the ocean, and it looks like a sea monster. I don't need to know what's in there. The ocean is not, unless we're going to catch something, pull it out, and cut it into sashimi and slice it nice and thinly and put it on my plate, I want no part of what's going on in there.
So are you not, do you not go into the ocean, period?
Like, I'll go into about my waist. That's about it. I will occasionally swim out there.
Yeah, they could still get you at your waist.
Oh, I know. I know they can.
Yeah, you're not. I don't know how much you're doing yourself a favor. And it's not like you're going to. Yeah. And I could see you trying to run back to shore with water at your waist. Like, that's just a fantastic scene to see.
There could be a shark on PCH, and I could be on dry land with track shoes on. That shark is still going to run me down on dry land. I'm not outrunning anything. That's never happening.
Did Travis just trip on a wave that was 1 foot? Okay, so here's – I think I told you this story a while back. Remember I told you that I got – this is a couple years ago. I got scuba certified.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Remember I told you I got scuba certified? And then I was also making the – you know, like, they must be handing these things out, like coupons or, you know, when the Lakers win the game – and they hold a certain team under a certain amount of points, they hand out the Jack in the Box two tacos. I think that's the way they're giving out these scuba certifications, because I don't know how the hell I got one of them, okay? I got a scuba certification. Thank you. Appreciate it. It's one thing to kind of describe what you just said. It's another thing when you're 30 feet down, 40 feet down, 50 feet down, and you're just out there just exploring what the hell is that. And I will tell you this. It's amazing. You know what I mean? Like, it's a completely – it literally is a different world. Like, that's not – you know, it is its own world underneath the water. And it's amazing, but at the same time, I'm also not going out to these unbelievable areas where I feel like I'm going to run into something. I'm doing it at Catalina, so I'm hoping that – even though that's probably a little scary
as
well.
You know they're out there too, right?
What the hell is out there.
Yeah, they're everywhere you want to be. That's because you're easy to catch. Yep. And you're made out of meat.
Oh, you should just see.
It's pretty simple.
There'd be fish down there when I was down there just looking at me like, what is this guy doing down here? How come he can't? Like, look how smooth everybody else is. And me, I'm like on my back and just trying to look pretty
funny. Are there any pictures of you and your scuba gear? I'd like to see those. Like the mask and the tank and the flippers and all that stuff.
Yeah, I got some photos.
Send me some. You should put some of those on Twitter. I'd like to see that.
I'll think about it.
Yeah, that's a no. That was met with the same level of enthusiasm as your ho-ho-ho.
You're a hater, bro. Look at you.
No, I want to see it.
I like it.
I want to see it. I'm just disappointed that – who doesn't want to be Santa? Who doesn't want to just lean in and ho-ho-ho it up? Ho-ho-ho.
I think it was pretty good. You know, I set it before. I'll say it again. All right, what else you got, Zach?
So if you're a Spotify user, then you probably saw your 2021 Wrapped results by now. So what were your most listened to songs and artists of 2021?
Al? So, T-Raj, I don't use Spotify. Pandora has always been – that's always been my thing. And by the way, I should probably use Spotify, but I'm even the – I pay Pandora to keep ads away, like the whole thing. I've been using Pandora for years. A lot of reggae, my man. Lot of reggae. So a lot of reggae artists. One thing I do like about Pandora over Spotify, they might throw me an artist or a song that I've never heard before. Spotify, not to say that they're not doing the same thing, but I spend a lot of time on Pandora, a lot of reggae. Trav, what are you listening to?
I don't have a Spotify either. I don't know. I'd have to go into my Apple Podcasts and see where it is. That's where it's coming through. It's a lot of news and it's a lot of NFL podcasts and
okay. So
and,
when you want to, is there ever a time that you just want to listen to music or no?
Very, very rarely.
Yeah.
Like the only time I'm thinking, okay, I got to find a music channel to throw on is if we're hosting a party or something, and I got to, or once in a while if I'm cooking, I'll want some music on as opposed to have a game on in the background. But I think people assume I'm doing a bit or I'm kidding. It isn't my lane at all. I just don't. It doesn't move me in any meaningful way.
Is Cisco still your guy? Is that still
yeah.
your guy?
You, is he the thong song guy?
That's
is
the
that
thong
him?
Song guy.
Yeah,
yep,
I like
that's
that.
Him.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that, I just
always,
listen to that.
That's always been like your go-to where you just kind of play it over and over again.
I listened to Cisco 4,785,212 yep. times.
Cisco
year.
And Genuine. Those are your two.
I do like Genuine.
Those are your two
was,
guys.
He was in Parks and Rec, so I know Genuine. He's Donna's cousin.
I don't know if you know this about me, but I am a huge Taylor Swift fan. So big Swiftie. That's okay if you guys aren't. And I probably can assume you guys aren't. But when you do your Spotify Wrapped, they tell you what percent you are in like that artist's like listeners. So they'd be like, oh, you're
what
in the top 10% of this listener.
What percentage are you?
2%. I'm in the top 2% of
wow.
Taylor Swift listeners. Yeah, I love Taylor Swift. She's
okay, so what does that mean? So how much Taylor Swift do you have to listen to be in the top 2%?
A lot of Taylor Swift. yeah. She also released like 3 new albums in the past year, like had a lot of times, but yeah, no, it's a lot of time spent driving around Los Angeles listening to Taylor Swift.
Travis is the literally he's
I'm
on top the
top one.
Of Cisco's list.
Yeah, I'm
1%.
You're
the 0.1%. That's Travis Rogers.
And Genuine. That's exactly where I live. All right. So we were talking about the Lakers, we were talking about Frank Vogel, and LeBron was talking about the coaching situation, and we were asking you, where does this break down? Is it roster? Is it players? Is it coaching? Is it all of the above? That's next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.